Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, this podcast is all that you get. Josh and Antonio might be it, but heaven knows they'll try.
A Ted Lasso podcast and post show recaps. You better believe it. Welcome to our Ted Lasso talk. I'm Josh Wigler, and I'm joined here by Antonio Mazzaro, as always, a man whose texts to me you never want to pause down on for a prolonged period of time.
Yes, because I tell you, I want to see you get eaten by squirrels, yes, Josh.
With great frequency. It's alarming how often you text me such things.
Very specific in my directives.
Oh my God. This is Ted,
I'm not your Jane Payne. I'm not your Jane Payne.
You're not my Jane Payne. Obviously not. You are my everything, though. And we are going to get into everything, Coach Beard, as it is time to turn off the lights, dim them down just a scooch.
What is this voice?
As we settle in for a little bit of Beard After Hours.
Unsubscribe. Oh my God.
And for the rest of this podcast episode, I'll speak in this voice to do a thing. That's a unbreaking format, you see.
Please. Don't make me come out against the thing that I love about this episode.
Trying something new on. It's like wearing a different hat, you see. Would you like an Artful Dodger Wiggler's Wombat's cap?
The problem is, if you put one of those hats on, then Fagin shows up.
Here he is again, this little turd. Yes. All right, Beard After Hours. It's the Coach Beard episode, directed by Sam Jones, coming your way from writers Brett Goldstein and Joe Kelly. Brett Goldstein, obviously Roy Kent himself. It is not quite all Brendan Hunt all the time, but it is a lot of Beard. It is a very, very substantial amount of Beard. Indeed, the most Beard we have gotten. And indeed, I would say the only episode that has really gone all the way in spotlighting one specific character, basically. A couple like side stories in here, especially with the guys from the bar, from the pub. But otherwise it is truly living up to its title, Beard After Hours.
Definitely. And this is something I believe I will say, I don't know this firsthand. I have read it that, this is something that Bill Lawrence did on Scrubs a lot. Bill Lawrence, the co-creator of Ted Lasso, the sort of the TV, sitcom old hand that was brought in to guide this project from Joe Kelly and Brendan Hunt and, Jason Sudeikis. Bill Lawrence that's his role in this, and he's the guy responsible for Scrubs. And I'm given to understand this was fairly common in Scrubs that it happened three or four times at least throughout the length of the run of the show. And it gives them an opportunity to stop down on a side character, really inform the audience about what this character's motivations are, how they fit into the greater part of the story. So it seems to be that this is a Bill Lawrence stock in trade. When they were called on to add extra episodes to this season, it seems like a good opportunity for them to do that. So I think that's a lot of what the genesis of this episode was. But as for the Exodus or maybe the Leviticus, I don't know. But this was the genesis of this episode for sure. This is a Bill Lawrence thing that he does. And it makes sense that we saw it here when they had to add extra episodes.
Yeah, I am more than anything, like probably my biggest takeaway as a Ted Lasso podcaster is I'm so psyched that we unequivocally now have like, what was that extra episode? What's the 12th episode? What was the, they ordered two more, Christmas and Beard After Hours. Very easy. We'll never speculate about it ever again.
Whenever I order two extra, those are always the things I'll go to. Christmas and beard after
hours. I'll never bring it up again. Is this one the extra?
No, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I'll never do it again. So I'm thrilled that is done.
I beg you to do that with next episode.
Oh, I mean, you just kind of scooped the bit. That's obviously what's going to happen next week.
I beg you.
I actually have the memory of a goldfish, which would make Ted Lasso pretty happy, and I will forget to do the bit next week.
Yes.
So it's the beard episode. I've been out here on the podcast being like, I have all the beard I need. I don't need any more beard. I'm good with my beard. Like, I don't need, I could use more literal beard on my face.
Yeah.
But as far as the show, like, I'm pretty good. And then last week we talked about this because, you get tipped off on what is the title of the next episode. You know that it's Beard After Hours. It's like, okay, so we are, we're going in. We're doing the beard episode. And for someone who is like, I feel like the character works best in some measure of enigma, some measure of mystery, without knowing too much about the guy, like that, I'm nervous about what we're going to do with a full scale episode. And fairly clearly, I think the reaction has been polarizing, to use a favorite buzzword. And it's been a little divisive. And there are some people who are like really out on the episode, other people who are like all the way in on the episode. And we're going to do, you know, we're going to talk about this for a good long while. We've got nothing else to talk about but beard all the time, basically, this week. And I will just give the very quick react that I'm pleased to report that I really liked it. I come out on the side of, like, I mostly really like this one. I would stop short of saying, like, I utterly loved this episode, but I really enjoyed it. And I think as far as, like, a beard episode goes, this was about, like, the best that I could have hoped for, was, like, one that isn't, like, going like deep into the rabbit hole of Beard's past and like what Beard's side hustles are and stuff like that, and more about like Coach Beard goes on a freaky deaky night of the soul after losing a horrific game that is haunting him for the rest of the evening, and shenanigans ensue. That is about the best outcome that I could have hoped for, and I'm very pleased that that's the direction this went in.
Same, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, maybe we don't need an episode that tells us more about Beard's background, how he came to be, that sort of thing. I think the good news is here, we didn't get that. He still is an enigma to me. He's just an enigma who we have a little more emotional connection to now. And I think that is important. I think it's important for a lot of reasons. It certainly, look, if you didn't like the episode or you didn't like the fact that we're watching it week to week and we're doing podcasting and the rest of the time anyone sees this, it will be binged. And so it's going to hit different for them. They'll be able to pick up with Rebecca and Sam and the cheers of it all right away after 40 minutes instead of after 2 weeks, like you're doing right now, watching week to week forever. For the rest of time, people will be able to take this in a binge, and it's probably going to hit differently for them. So it's not my job to tell you that you shouldn't like that or you should expect more. I certainly feel everyone's entitled to feel how they want. I do think it's really valuable, and I don't think we will know the value of this. We may not know until the end of the series when we look back and see, and it really helped that we got a glimpse into the effects of the losing, the effects of Ted maybe not taking things seriously, the effects of the coaching style, the clash between Beard and Ted, and who wears that? Who wears the pain from that, and how do they wear it? That, I think, all really is a little bit top of mind in this episode, as Beard is literally haunted by a blue moon hanging over him throughout, really thinking about the loss. The TVs are talking to him. I think this is a really important episode to see the emotional impact of some of what's happening at Richmond. I've gone on and on in this podcast about how they were relegated, and we just haven't really seen the practical effect of that. And I know, you know, you could say, well, Rebecca's so rich. Like, everybody who owns these teams are rich. Like, that's not part of the equation here. Like, these players are going to be making less money. The fans are going to be really upset by relegation. It's going to impact a lot. Now, this is not, as I've said, one of these small English village clubs, where the entire town or village depends on the club having some repute when it comes to football. This is London, right? It's a part of London, so it doesn't affect them that way. But the practical effects of the Ted Lasso methods, I think, are really important for us to see how they play out. And I think we've seen that a lot with Nate this season, how Ted's microaggressions, and maybe they're not even intentional, but the way Ted treats Nate, whether it's giving him a dummy whistle or throwing Higgins into his office or laughing at him when he wants to be a big dog, We've seen the practical effects of the Ted Lasso management style vis-a-vis Nate. We just haven't seen how it fully will play out, but we have seen it. But Beard's like Ted's right hand. Beard came with Ted over to this job. What makes Beard tick? Why is he here? And how does the Ted-Beard relationship and the secret sauce really work there? I think those are important things that inform our characters, that inform the narrative and the drama. And so learning more about how Beard reacts to this and how he's wearing it and where he's at emotionally in the course of this season, I think it is really valuable. And I don't think we'll really know the value of learning that until we watch more episodes. So I think it's unfair to criticize whether it was quote unquote worth it or not until we have seen the rest and can make that determination. For me, I really liked it the first time I watched it. I loved it the second time.
Interesting.
I watched it. The first time, you know, I wasn't sure where it was going. There was some level of anxiety, like that it could end up in a darker place or that it was going to go somewhere that I wasn't comfortable with.
It definitely had that vibe, right? Like, there was definitely like, it was, I mean, I think a big issue is like, maybe a little bit even less about like, is this necessary or even like the timing? Like those are definitely parts of this conversation, I think. And then like another piece I think that is like worth talking about too is like the tone of it. Cause it's so different from any other episode of Ted Lasso, not just in its focus, but also in like the way it unfurls, that I'm not mad at, you know, sign me up with all the other, people who are saying, gotta take the swing. You know, a show's got to take a swing. A show's got to take a risk. A show's got to try and do something. And like, if it knocks it out of the park, that's incredible. And that those are your international assassins and stuff like that. And even like getting on base, which I think at the very least this one does. Sorry, I'm bringing baseball into it. is worth the effort when you've got 12 episodes in a second season anyway. Like, why not take the shot? So like,
I called it a Ted Lasso heat check. You know, like they know
they're, and I was like, yes, that's it.
Another sport, right? They're firing on all cylinders and they know it. So they're like, let's just see what we can do. Like, let's see how well we can stick. Let's call it a side Beard episode.
Yeah.
Can we make a Ted Lasso episode that feels like a Ted Lasso episode that is devoid of the football, that is devoid of Ted Lasso himself almost entirely, and that is devoid of a lot of the other stuff in the show that makes it work.
All the characters are effectively gone except for Roy Kent, who's in a bodysuit looking like Dave Bautista. Roy Kent, as you and I call him. Yeah,
Roy Kent. So those guys are gone. I mean, like we did get May, we did get Jane, we got Beard, and of course we got Bash, Jeremy, and Paul from the pub. But other than that, yeah, a pretty empty. I mean, we have the scene at the end and that's it.
But also so, like the warm fuzzies are gone. That's a character, right? You know, like the vibe is different. Like what I was going to say is like there were moments where I thought like Beard was going to get like dangerously hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like in the alley with Fagin, with Jimmy Tart's dad,
Fagin Tart.
Yeah. Like that was very scary. Like I was like, for the first time ever, like watching the show, I was like concerned for someone's like physical well-being. Like I haven't really been to memory, like really concerned about someone's like physical well-being in terms of like their mortal peril. And I didn't see like the world where like Coach Beard is getting killed in this episode. That's not a thing that I'm like watching for. But like I like found myself like kind of like getting lost in like that worry. Even knowing like that's not a thing that's really going to happen, like that's not a feeling I've ever had, like as quickly as I was able to like put that away, that's not a feeling I've ever had watching an episode of Ted Lasso before. So I think like the tone is worth the conversation,
definitely. And I love the word tone anyway.
Yeah, I know you
but,
do.
I think the Ted Lasso tone was there in a couple of moments. Ted Lasso is a show about people being nice to each other on some level, and I really like there's some great stuff happening in the post-show recaps patron Discord. I really thought the discourse about this episode was excellent. And I really was thrilled to see. I always love it when I see comments in that channel. I love that people are talking about the show and our podcast. That makes me feel really good. But Catherine is watching it for the first time. And Catherine, it just says, wow, he's just a really pleasant person. I love this. Like that's the Ted Lasso show. It's people being nice to each other. And strangely enough, we had a lot of that in this episode, whether it was Roy Kent being a decent guy to Beard when it was all said and done, or whether it was Beard helping Jeremy, Baz, and Paul onto the pitch at Nelson Road.
That was great.
And the euphoria that came with that. Beard's dance at the end, I thought was in the Ted Lasso way, very euphoric and cathartic. So
even like there are a lot of those moments. Coffee and like fulfilling the obligation, yeah. like he'll be here yeah. type of deal.
He'll be here. They count on each other in that way, and it's worth
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think that like the like it you know the like it the show is already like highs and lows. It's just I think the highs like really stand out, and they make like the lows punch harder. And so like the ratio was off. It was skewed differently. So like
it was.
The lows are much more prevalent in this one. And I think that they do make like the highs of this episode, like the lassoisms, like the like sort of like the classic feel of the show, hit like I was gonna say hit harder, but it's like it was like there are these moments where you get to breathe, in a way where like it's usually like the joy is like of watching Ted Lasso is like getting to, you know, like getting all of these moments that are so fun, so great, such great character development. And then like the shock of getting like a gut punch, like yeah. that's the experience of watching the show, watching an episode yeah. that's mostly gut punch. And then it's like, okay, breathe. We're on the pitch. Like we're getting Baz, Jeremy and Paul onto the field and they're euphoric, like breathe. Beard's dancing, breathe. Roy Kent isn't here to kill Beard, breathe. You know, so like the valve is just flipped. It was like a total, it was like a complete like mirror universe almost, which I think is kind of interesting. I think it's going to hit different automatically by virtue of that like tonal contrast that like we're doing, like this episode is doing the ratio completely flipped from how we normally do Ted Lasso. But I think for me, it works more than it doesn't.
It definitely works more than it doesn't. I think that's a really good observation about it being flipped. I have said, you know, that a big part of Ted Lasso and a big part of comedy in general, right, is making your belly laugh so that your belly is exposed and then sliding a knife in between your ribs with the gut punches, as you're describing. And this one is definitely flipped, but I think it makes sense, as I was saying. Like, it makes sense that these losses take a toll on people. And for a season that it in and of itself has been frequent with more darker episodes or moments than the first season, I think it makes sense. Like, I just think it does fit. And it does, even though it is different and even though it breaks the mold, I don't think it shatters it in two. I think it really bends the mold. It shapes the mold. It shapes it to Beard's sort of being. Like, this is a guy who doesn't display a lot of emotion, doesn't display a lot of anything, but he is prone to just shouting things, right? Like whether it's like baby or, you know, just shouting out things in the office in response, or these outbursts, like when he's singing the Lady Gaga, Bad Romance in the first series, it's like, this doesn't fit because this is a very excited, like energetic, intense, insane version of this guy. And in that way, it does fit because he's so quiet. So these explosions matter. And so I think having Beard be the center of this one, it makes sense that the tone would be different. And I what I think really is interesting about it is the tone isn't explosive in many respects. It's really contemplative. Like the opening song, like changing the Ted Lasso theme. I knew that really worked for you. You're a big Tweety.
Well, I'm not a huge music. Obviously I love music. I'm a human being, but like I'm not like super hip to like to certainly like modern music or like, you know, like being really plugged into all the new hotness. I am but an old man here. I like my Final Fantasy soundtrack very much. Thank you. But
that's what older people like.
No, I don't know. Chiptune. Yeah, that's basically it. But as far as like my actual music tastes go, like I have crushed so much Wilco. Wilco is like a go to, and Jeff Tweedy in particular, and a lot of his solo stuff, and a lot of his non Wilco projects too. You and I were texting about Mermaid Avenue and his collaborations with Billy Bragg, and getting to hear like Tweedy. Like on doing the Lasso theme, like my ear perked up immediately. It was like, is that Jeff Tweedy? Is this?
And he was like, yeah,
yeah, it is kind of me. And I loved it.
Yeah,
I thought it was beautiful.
It was so good, and it is a perfect
total
tone
setter.
For the episode.
You love that word.
I do. I love the word setter. My favorite is an Irish. It really was great to have that. And I love that the show in both of the kind of stuck on episodes, because in the Christmas episode, they sort of remixed the theme as well. This seems to be a popular thing that's happening right now. What We Do in the Shadows, Josh. I'm dating this podcast episode, but episode 4 of season 3 this week did a great, they sort of walked their way into the theme of that show, which is a certified banger, by the way. They walked their way into it a different way, and they did the intro theme differently. This is just the thing I think shows are playing with. It's not It's not altogether uncommon, but seeing Ted Lasso do it in this way, apparently the director of this episode is a guy who is known for directing the Wilco documentary.
Which is, so he had incredible. In the Rolodex. Yeah, I'm Trying to Break Your Heart, which I think was about the making of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
That would make sense because, that's right there at the beginning. Yeah. So, that's the director of this episode, and they just said, "Hey, can you get us somebody
hit,
like
can you hit up Tweety?" And like Tweety's like,
"Yeah, can you tweet at Tweety?"
Yeah,
yeah, I might be all that you get. Yeah. So they got Tweety. They did the theme. It's great. That whole moment was great. I'm shocked, honestly. I do think. I mean, I said I love the episode, especially the second time I watched it, and that is true. But I'm just shocked with how long they let it go, like how much time they took with some of this stuff. Like the Beard Odyssey begins with him taking the tube home. Like I did not think in any world, like Beard telling Ted, "I got to go walk this off. I don't want to ride the bus back with you guys." I did not think in any world it would end with Beard just walking into his house. And yet that's how this episode begins, is Beard taking the tube back to his house. I just like, no, he was going to go out for a crazy night in the town. What's he doing at home? Yeah. Like, I'm just shocked with how slow they played all of this.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Did he walk to a further away stop on the tube? You know, like did he, you know, he didn't go to the local stop and he just walked a little bit farther than he needed to. The one that was a little further from where they were playing that evening.
Yeah, they were at Wembley Stadium and they got on the Wembley Park tube. I don't know.
So no, probably not.
But I don't know. I don't know what was on his mind. Maybe it was just the train ride. Like maybe that's all he needed to kind of cool his head a little bit. But clearly it wasn't, because when he gets home, he's hallucinating things on the television, like the David Fincher movie, The Game. That's what it reminded me of. There's a great scene in that movie where the television starts saying things that it doesn't make sense that the television would be saying. Yeah. And then it's like, wait a minute, what the hell is happening here? And using these actual pundits, one of whom is a legendary footballer. Well, both of whom, really. But Thierry Henry's case, Thierry Henry is one of the most legendary players in the Premier League era. And to see him playing for comedy is really funny. Like, it just, I mean, it's just Gary Neville, too. Gary Neville himself, a former player, United, one club man, and he was also a Premier League legend. But Thierry Henry is just God tier footballer. And so to see him playing a goofy on Ted Lasso was crazy, and has such a problem with Beard, might I add. He wants to give him the pep talk that's going to cause him to take his own life. That's brutal.
I mean,
how dare you, Thierry?
What are we supposed to take from what we know about Beard and his experiences here, though? We learned last week he accidentally drank the mushroom tea. How much of this episode, Antonio, is a trip?
I don't think any of it is. I mean, I don't think any of it is. I think it all happened, and I do believe that.
You don't think Coach Beard was dead the whole time?
No. Yeah. No, 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 uh-huh. No. Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no. Do you think this is like some kind of purgatory situation?
No.
He was trying to go back the whole time. He had to go back home.
He did.
So that's the other thing. I want to say, I thought it was weird that they started by just having him say, "I got to walk this off," and then having him go right home. But this is also a tribute to the Martin Scorsese movie After Hours.
Sure, literally named after it. Yeah.
Beard After Hours, After
and
Hours.
Vibe modeled after it very much.
Yes. Itself a movie about a guy who's trying to get home and is having a bit of a long night of his own and gets into a bunch of hijinks and a bunch of things that are happening to him as he's trying to return home. Very similar vibe, very similar moments. I have not seen After Hours in a very long time.
Yeah, I was going to try and check it out before the podcast, and the timing did not work out for me.
I remember, you know, that there's a femme fatale in this episode. I remember Linda Fiorentino playing a very similar role in After Hours, and I remember
is so great though. All she wants to do is collect trousers, and she and Roy Kent seem to actually be rather happy together. But just the vibe of it was so bizarre.
Yeah, well, she really did enjoy that anger. I mean, of course, she loved that. Yeah, run! She really did She really liked how that was all playing out. That was all part of the design.
The whole line. What was the? I gotta fish it out. What does he say about the trousers that absolutely destroyed me? I have to search back through the.
Oh, about how they're made that way so that people can kiss his ass.
Yeah, so they can kiss his ass quicker or something like that.
More easily, quicker, something to that effect.
Rocked me. I thought that was so funny. There were a couple of moments in this episode that just like utterly annihilated me, but I don't want to.
You also really like Orion's belt.
Yeah, when the boys are being told to act cool and Beard like presses himself into the wall is like his instinct, and everybody else is trying to be cool, and I don't know which one it is that just points up at the sky and shouts, "Look, Orion's belt." That was playing it so cool. Just played it as cool.
That's
as
what I do when I'm playing it cool. I talk about constellations.
Just play it as cool as humanly possible. Yeah,
he was like very contemplative about it. He was like, "Oh, Ryan's belt."
Yeah,
you know?
The line he says to the femme fatale, to the tailor, I shall call her. We shall call
Mary
her
the tailor.
Call her Mary the tailor. He says they're designed that way to make it easier for people to kiss my ass. Is such a good line. I fell out of my chair. I thought that was so good.
His repartee was fantastic. Yeah. Beard's got some game. He's talking about Prince Andrew, one exposed arse can bring down the monarchy itself, and how dare you talk about Prince Andrew that way? That is a slam dunk joke, like home run.
Well, there was a great, like, I think that why I liked the episode more than I feared I would, was I decided to check my baggage last week. I was like, it's coming, so just like brace yourself for it. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm going in as open as humanly possible. So like, I think I was like in a good mood to like take it on. And then the other piece of it is like that. Yeah, I do think that this episode is less like a like the story of Coach Beard and more like less about who was Coach Beard and much more about who is Coach Beard. And that is a huge difference, just right away, that we're like really dealing with like Beard in the present and like what is Beard all about, and you know, very likely like what Beard has been about for a long time. But like, he has a line here that obviously like speaks to the way that the character has been presented throughout the show so far, and I think that like when it was framed this way for me, it was like something that was like really helpful with the idea of like, okay, we're doing the Beard standalone episode, was when he says, "I listen more than I talk," right? Like, he has like some line that is effectively that way.
Yeah, that's how he was able to do the impression of the Irish professor.
Yes, like, I listen more than I talk. That is like his vibe, and like that is very like very plainly his vibe based on everything we've seen of Beard on the show so far. So like, it does us some good probably to like take the opportunity to like the guy who doesn't talk very often and listens all the time, like maybe let's like listen to what's like emanating off of this character.
That's a really good way to put it. Like, that's what I was trying to capture earlier when I was saying like it makes sense that we would want to shift the perspective a little bit, and we've been in this bubble and seen how Ted's antics and living with Ted affects people. I think living with the guy who listens all the time and doesn't talk and really listening to him, that's got the value. That's got the value of that perspective that I was trying to get at earlier. Oh, and also, speaking of earlier, I called Gary Lineker Gary Neville. So I'm going to get some letters about that one. But it's Gary Lineker who is the
pundit. Well,
they
just make it like what? Like 8 minutes further, then hopefully they can unsend the letter.
How dare two separate middle-aged white men named Gary both be involved in the football world?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't appreciate it. But yeah, I think you're really right to say it. Like, that's the value of it. Like, it is that Beard listens all the time, and he's a sponge, and he's constantly taking stuff in. Still waters run deep. And so I think it's very interesting to see how deep and why. And his repartee is very funny in the moment. I especially liked the sort of meta joke when he is talking to the woman at the club and he can't get in the door and he's trying to get her name. And he's very rude. He says, "You're very rude. What's your name?" And she tells him her name, and she says, "What's your name?" Which, by the way, is something that we have all wondered, like people watching the show. He's known as Coach Beard. Rebecca calls him Coach Beard. Other people call him Coach Beard. Is his name really Beard? Like, that doesn't make sense. So when Sarah Coombs asks him what his name is, it's like, okay, here we go. We're going to actually find out his name. Like, here's a thing we're going to do in this episode. And his line is, that's none of my business, which is like a Bugs Bunny type response. Yes. That's very funny from the writers, but I also kind of wonder if that's what they told the actor, if that's what they told Brendan Hunt. That's none of your business. So when he says it, that's none of my business, it is none of his business. He shouldn't know. There's another moment where he's talking about a simulation. We should just tip our caps to the man pulling the strings. And it's like, that is, once again, an actor being forced by the writers to credit the writers. Very funny. I really
yeah,
that
is good. In this interview with TV Line that Brendan Hunt did, he talks about how they do not have Beard's name yet. That Beard's name was never going to come out in this episode. He says, we might do it someday, but it was never on the table to do it this episode. We never thought of this as an episode where we find out a lot about Beard, just that this is an episode where we put Beard through something. And if we ever do reveal Beard's name, by which I mean if we ever decide it, we have options, but we don't know what we're going to do. It definitely won't be for a while, he says. That feels like series finale material if they do the three season arc. This quote that he says, we never thought of this as an episode where we find out a lot about Beard, just that this is an episode where we put Beard through something, like to like hear that like underlined by not just the actor who plays Beard, but he's one of like the lead writers on the show. You know, he's like very centrally located in the creative of this series. Like was like, okay, great. I'm picking up what they're putting down. That feels good for me. And like whether or not you like enjoyed or like grokked the something that they're putting him through is like obviously very like subjective and taste dependent. Like no harm, no foul. If it just like wasn't your thing. But I think that like that ethos, like that sort of like guiding principle of like the narrative structure of the episode was like, this is not like the let's find out like the Rose Beard, you know, like that's not the thing. Rose Beard was his sled. Like, you know, this is where we find out like, you know, some sort of like huge secret about Beard in the past. Are you okay?
I'm just imagining him whispering, Rose.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his first name. Maybe his first name is Rose.
Rose Beard. Yeah, it's spelled R-O-W-S, though. It's like rouse, like when you're like having a row. And that it's not about that, that it is about like he's going through a journey and we're following him. And I think like what you framed really early inside the first 10 minutes of this podcast, Antonio, about how like, if you want to make this episode matter to the show, a big thing that matters is that, like, this is the guy who, we're watching someone, like, suffer, like, the consequences of the loss. Like the psychic, emotional consequences of, like, the vicious beating that they just took. And when you frame that, especially at the end of the episode, with, like, the lassoism, like, the moment that we're talking about, like, this brings you back to Ted Lasso, not just the show, but also the character, and therefore, maybe some of the issues that are emanating from the character within the story of the show, that Beard just goes through everything he just went through processing the loss, and of course he's processing the loss all throughout the episode. I'll say it now, and I'm sure you will go deeper on it later, but like the blue moon, you know, it's following him the whole episode. There's the moon in the background. Clearly, you know, the loss is literally hanging over Beard's head the entire episode, just haunting him, following him around. And the way that Ted reacted to it was to cut together a supercut set to Benny Hill, you know, like ah, well, bloop, bloop, bloop. So we lost another one. And like the only time that we have like really seen Ted and Beard at like actual factual odds was over this very idea of like, does winning actually matter? Is that the point? Beard like screamed at Ted last season, like, it matters. These are adults. These are professionals, and winning matters, and it's okay for that to matter. And like Ted's obviously got a lot that he's got to go through right now. But like, you know, for Beard to be taking this as hard as he is, contrasted with like sometimes you just have to laugh at how thoroughly you get defeated. There's certainly wisdom to that. But I think the contrast is very, very sharp when you think about it for a little bit more in terms of like who is like the closest person to Ted Lasso on this show. It's Coach Beard, and he is being hit like a, you know, by a Mack truck the way he's reacting to all of this. He's being hit in the face by a bunch of strangers in a tunnel over the results here. And Ted's got jokes. You know, Ted's got Benny Hill.
And the blocking of that scene is telling. If you watch, as Ted suggests it, Roy sort of sidles over and stands next to Nate, and Roy and Nate are enjoying it, and then Beard is sitting at his desk alone, puts his hat over his eyes, and sleeps.
Yeah, and that,
with those incredible pants on. I want those pants so
desperately.
I want
them for you, man, really badly.
I need them.
It plays like he's tired, right? Like, it plays like we saw his whole night, and it's a miracle that he showed up with not just coffee, but, like, the correct coffee order to the tea, no tea, though he would like to he would like to be able to drink that publicly now in front of Ted, I'm sure, just a couple minutes late. And so, like, him tipping the hat and, like, you know, appearing to fall asleep, like, that can play. Certainly, there's one interpretation of that where it's just, like, him, just, like, he's exhausted. He's at work. He's bought himself, you know, like, 20 minutes on the snooze clock. The other read of it is, like, this is like the contrast of like this is a guy who did not take everything all that well.
He is not, and not just the you know, the loss, but the Jane stuff. Obviously, if we go back over the course of both seasons, at this point, Beard's main story, as far as like what is his character up to, has been Jane. Throughout season one, it was a joke, right? It's like, well, Beard's going to do something crazy in a pub and yell at Ted, as you just pointed out, and Jane's going to be there hovering, waiting, and she's going to really respond to that. And she's been teasing and toying with a guy playing chess, and Beard's been silently observing that. But Beard and Jane, that's a thing in season one, and that's a thing that is sort of what Beard is doing besides everything that Ted is doing. And then in season two, it's continued to be a punchline. It's been a point of contention between Higgins and Beard, especially as we know. But this has been Beard's story. Nate's story, of course, has been Nate the Great, the Wonder Kid, and everything that's coming with a guy who had been bullied for so long, being given the control and given the reins of power a little bit, and what he does with them, seeing how that plays out. That's his story. Ted, we're really starting to peel back the layers. We go over all these things, but in Beard's case, we haven't added anything really new. So it makes sense that we should do a deeper dive on what is going on between he and Jane. Why should every other character, Josh, be three-dimensional or be having some more to them? Why shouldn't we spend some time with Beard? It makes a lot of sense to me that we put him on an odyssey like this and we just have him doing these things by seeing how he reacts to them, by seeing what motivates him, what causes him to become emotional. We learn more about him. And because we learn more about him, we know more about the show and we feel more deeply connected to the narrative. At least I do.
Yeah.
So I feel good about it in that way. I don't want to retread over those areas. I will say, I think we get a little bit of that with Baz, Jeremy, and Paul, the lads from the pub.
Oh, I loved hanging out with those guys.
Yes.
You got your wish. You wanted to see them, at Nelson Road, and I did not know where they were going when they went into like the secret
horror
tunnel. I was like, oh,
237. I think, definitely a shout out to The Shining when you call it a horror tunnel, room 237, the notorious, Overlook Hotel room, in the movie. There was
not the one with the dog in it. Hope not.
No, now you got me on. Now we're talking about the Americans. This podcast is going to be about the Americans.
We're back on the Irish setter
because I know where you go. Yeah,
the tone. Yeah, that's the tone, an Irish. The tone setter.
It's an Irish setter, all right. But I will say, knowing more about those guys, it wasn't just that we got to have some fun with them and they got a cathartic moment. My favorite moment, at least, in terms of knowing them a little more, was when they walked into this mecca that they had wanted to go to, Bones and Honey. They pulled a caper. They all got in. They were dressed, with the, what was the word on the box? It was like the miscarded and discarded or misplaced and discarded. That's what it said on the box.
Right.
That's so perfect for how they felt when they walked into that place. I think it was Paul who said, like, we don't belong here. And Beard was like, knock that shit off.
Yeah.
He was very angry about it. But that's sort of like these guys, they don't have a couple cents to scrub together. They're buying the yard jerseys off, you know, people outside the ground. Like, that's why they're not going down to the match. They love it every time someone buys them a beer. Like, these guys are not, you know, from this higher end Oxford lifestyle. And knowing that about them and really getting to see that kind of round into shape just a little bit more, it just adds a lot more to me in terms of the people that are invested in the fortunes of the club. I mean, learning about Richmond supportive, because the number one Richmond supporter I know is Rupert fucking Manning.
Yeah.
And that guy is an asshole. Yeah. So I want to know more about some of these other Richmond supporters, and these are the perfect three to do it. I think it was brilliant to involve them in it. Getting to see more of that cast, it's Bronson Webb, who plays Jeremy, who called out Orion's belt. Baz is played by Adam Colborn, and he's the guy who said, and I've laughed. I watched the episode three times, and I legitimate, like, laugh out loud, cackle every time. The timing of it is so perfect. We get this huge moment where Beard has gone through this Irish professor using, by the way, the real life name of Elvis Costello.
Oh, really?
Declan. Yeah. Declan McManus is Elvis Costello's name. And I think three of the four names are connected to Elvis Costello. I think Aloysius is a little bit of a flourish.
Professor Declan Patrick Aloysius McManus. I want to thank Jessica Leese for screenshotting this and posting. In case there was any doubt remaining that Ted Lasso was extremely my kind of thing. And then she posted a screenshot of that.
Jess may be all in on Elvis Costello. Declan Patrick McManus is Elvis Costello. So the Aloysius is a flourish.
Yeah. Aloysius is his real name. That's where we're going.
When Professor McManus, who says his name is Professor McManus, when Jeremy Rex says, Professor McGonagall taught us a lot, but he really taught us about the value of money. So funny from Baz. And then, of course, Paul, Kevin Gary, the gentle giant, the one who wanted to give Beard a hug, the one who picked the keys up, the one who asked the contemplative question about the universe and our consciousness. He is great as well. So those three guys, just so great. Really love spending the time with them. It was so nice to, that was a smart way, I think, to work in more side characters. I wouldn't have minded having even more May. In this episode, we did get May giving Beard a lot of shit.
Rolled around, like if she rolls up in the limousine with them at the end of the episode, it would have been amazing.
It would have been great. It would have been great. Yeah. Or have her on the pitch as well. Like there's a world where we could have had more May in this episode, and I would have been fine with it, and I would have loved it. But I really like that we spent time with not just Beard, but some of the other side characters.
I think you calling out like that moment where he's like, knock that shit off, like you totally belong here. Like there's the world in which like that's projection for Beard, like being he and Ted being like the cowboys in the middle of this game that they should not like. Do they have like the imposter syndrome there that like may not just be imposter syndrome, maybe like they shouldn't be here kind of vibe that like either like he's feeling that is a possibility that like is something that could like could be drummed up as we go along, or like he is in like stark resistance against that idea and like confidently so. Either way, I think like that I just wanted to clock that from when you called that out as it pertains potentially to Beard and like sort of like a character that's responding to that idea that is still on the show about, you know, strangers in a strange land, triggered saying those words. But the other thing is like I'm always looking for like when is the show doing a thing that's like they're just like doing like a microcosm of what the idea of the show is and like what is like an example that we will be able to point back to retroactively that like shows us like what is the arc of your show, whether it's this show or a different show or whatever. Like, is there an episode? Is there a storyline that like you watch it from like A to C, like you go A, B, C, and like you see like what that journey is going to be that is going to then be able to like be blown up and like mapped onto the greater show. And I think the lads, their journey, like they go to this bar. They have no confidence in their ability to get in, let alone like stay in. They get told that they belong here. They get validated. They go in. They succeed on the ruse with a high degree of difficulty. They stick around and befriend the people and reveal their authentic true selves and are accepted for it and are given a ton of like praise and friendship and a limousine, you know, enough money to get a limousine. And they make their way onto the pitch where they fully belong by the end of the episode. If that's not going to be like at least a shadow of the arc of Ted Lasso overall, I will not eat a snake, but you know what I mean.
We got to be careful with our snake eating promises around these parts because we make a lot of calls and predictions. I think you're right. And I think the other thing is just the fact that they are now so deeply connected to Beard. is the main one. Like, now it's like he's validated in their eyes. Like, this is a guy where, you know, when we saw Ted Lasso stalking off the pitch, and when he had the panic attack in the previous FA Cup match where Nate the Great pulls the Wonder Kid move, what we have, I think it's Jeremy who yells, "Just when I was starting to trust you, Ted Lasso, what the hell are you doing?" And that is like, there is a, between the manager and the supporters of a club, there is a very thin line. Things can go very wrong very quickly. It can go, you know, whole empires can be brought down in a matter of months if things go sideways with the fortunes of your football club. And so it is not in any, in any way. We got the guy who calls Ted a wanker the whole time. Wanker, wanker, wanker. It comes up over and over and over again. And in the Christmas episode, it's sort of a melancholy joke when Ted's like, I think it's kind of an inside joke, like inside of his head mostly. Like Ted doesn't love that, that that's happening. It's not really a term of endearment when that guy says it. So to see the supporters, back Beard and to see that that connection be formed in the way that it is in this episode, I think that it only says that their love of the club and their investment in the club's fortunes and these people that are in charge of it right now will be deeper and it will be more personal as a result. So it was a really nice thing for Beard to do to set those guys there to end the night in the way. I mean, such a memorable night for those guys. And Beard is at the heart of all of it. And they're just going to be bonded to him at this point. Like, there's not going to be that the animosity. Like, they see him as a human being now, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Did you have any thoughts that you wanted to share on like the whole tunnel encounter and everything kind of like surrounding it? I guess the action oriented set pieces of the episode. You know what I mean? Like the chase from Royd Kent. Yeah. I got to pronounce that right. Royd Kent. And like, you know, encountering Jamie's father again. Did this feel to you like this is the end of Jamie's father on the season, or is this is the promise of more? Like, where did you land with like how all of this played out for you on your multiple watches?
I think it's probably the end of Jamie's father on the season. I would be shocked if it's the end of Jamie's father in the series. I really believe at this point you've got established repeat, reinvent, rule of three with Man City. Man City ends their dream of staying up and relegates them in season one. They end their FA Cup Cinderella run and send them packing, embarrassingly so, in season two. Seems to me like I know Ted Lasso subverts expectations, but if you're looking at expectations from a pattern, they would probably beat Man City in the third series to win the Premier League would be my guess. And if that were the case, then there's no way that Fagan Tart is not involved in that. Now, will that happen? I don't know, but I think he's probably done for this season. I think the rest of the story of this season will be whether they get promoted back to the Premier League, which, by the way, in the last scene, in a way that the Christmas episode did it, but not as directly. We got a shot at their record, and their record very clearly puts them in great stead for their being in the playoff, if not promoted outright from the championship. They're doing really, really, really well. Really well. 21 wins, 6 losses, 16 draws.
That's where they're at right now.
That's where they're at. 79 points. I believe, I did not do the math on this, I believe that means they probably only have 3 or 4 matches left in the season. So if they only have 3 or 4 matches left, what happens in the championship? I can't remember if we talked about this here. As you recall or may recall, the bottom three clubs from the Premier League, the bottom three clubs at the end of the season, they get sent down to the championship. They get relegated. And you would think that means that the top three clubs come up. Well, that is not true. The top two clubs come up, and then 3, 4, 5, and 6 go into a playoff. And then through that playoff, the eventual winner of that playoff, the most valuable game in sports, ultimately, the winner of that playoff will get promoted to the Premier League. So technically, you'd only need to finish sixth in the championship in order to have a shot at promotion. And I would think 70, where they're at right now, I mean, we did the math on some of this in previous episodes. 79 points would have put them into that playoff, I think, in almost every championship season in the last decade or so.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to end with more than 79 points. It seems likely that they will be in the playoff at a minimum, and probably in the probably in just one of those two promotion spots at a maximum. Playoff has a lot more narrative juice to it, so it makes sense. And it makes sense that Ted wouldn't understand it, and we'd kind of repeat that. It gives Ted a chance to do the Jim Mora playoffs rant, which is another famous sports rant, would be a repeat of their Allen Iverson practice rant joke from series one.
Which even I get, yeah.
So there's a lot of that, right? There's a lot of opportunity for them to make this playoffs. And I think their record is really good, and they're headed there right now. So I don't think we'll see, Man City won't be in those playoffs. Obviously, they're a Premier League side. So I don't think we'll see, James Tart, for the rest of this, this season. What about you? Do you think that there's a world where we see more, James Tart this season?
Depending on, I don't know. I think like I feel pretty good with the amount of James Tart that we've gotten, especially two episodes in a row. Like, I don't need him to become like a character on the show.
This
in
is
that
where we
way.
Get a full side episode in Manchester of James
like,
Tart.
Like, I'm good without that for sure. I think like we will not leave the series without either seeing him again or at least dealing with him in a major way. As we are finding out through Ted as a character, the absence of a character can be just as impactful as having a character on the show. I wonder about things like that they could do with Jamie's father. Yes, I'm wishing death upon him is what I am saying right now. I'll mellow that rhetoric a little bit. But like, I can imagine the world where, like, if they can't get the actor back or something like that, there's a story that they could play there. But obviously, we're not done with Jamie's father. I think that we are also probably not done with him this season, even if only in terms of like how Jamie and Roy's relationship might move forward, based on like the infamous hug by the end of episode 8. But I think like having him in like the back to back, that like I guess I could see that cutting two ways. One, it's like an announcement of like, yeah, he's here. In which case, I'm going to be like, oh, man, I don't need that. I really don't. This guy sucks so hard, and I just don't need to spend any more time with him. Or it's like, now this is like sort of like the Beard epilogue to this guy. Having shown him the door, throwing him out on his ear, now having to like, you know, kind of like face back the nightmare creature. You know what I mean? Like, I think like having that happen here is appropriate for, you know, Beard being like haunted by the events of the evening. It makes a lot of sense for that character to appear here. I'm good to not see him again for the rest of the season. I hope we don't.
As far as the action sequences go, I thought throughout the episode, obviously, this presented in a very cinematic, I think effectively so, very well done, presented in a cinematic fashion. That gave me sort of feelings of the Droogs and Clockwork Orange. As I said, not the only Kubrick kind of connection with 237. And, you know, Brett Goldstein, one of the writers of the episode himself, a huge film buff, and has a podcast, Films to be Buried With. So, it's not surprising there would be these things bleeding into it, but I think a lot of it came from the director's hand as well. So that was a big thing. I really like the way that was executed. As far as the dumpster diving goes, there are moments, three or four moments in this episode where Beard sort of goes through a transition. Where he emerges from something, or he goes through these like liminal spaces. And I think that is something that was on purpose. Sometimes it's accompanied by a whooshing sound effect, but he is transitioning between places. And he does that when he goes through the tunnel into the room with the televisions at the bar, at the Honey Bar. I can't remember the other name. He goes through that in the tunnel there. He goes through a curtain. When he emerges into the rave, he's almost birthed from a curtain in a way. And the way that he's shot, jumping or coming, emerging from the trash bin, really feels like he is, he takes a huge gulp of air. It's like he's coming up out of water, or being revived in some way. So I really liked the way that it was presented, cinematically. I thought that, really worked that Butch and Sundance jump there. And I just, throughout the episode, the notes of the presentation, whether it's the slamming down of the beer in his apartment, to May slamming one down on the bar and the transition there, whether it's him drinking his first glass as he begins to answer the lad's questions at the pub, to pulling back out of that and seeing all the empty glasses in front of him. I just really, really liked the way this episode was made. And I appreciated that a lot more on the second time through as well, in a way that I didn't on the first time through. I think more so than many Ted Lasso episodes. This one has a lot of cinematic touches. And so they all really, really worked well for me. I just loved the appearance of Roy Kent in the way that he showed up the second time in the unexpected way.
Yeah, we've got a baby on the way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I hope those were mocktails. I know you're a noted mocktail connoisseur. Mary, the seamstress, she was imbibing, it seemed, at the bar.
Mocktails
so.
Are super in right now. It's like a really like happening thing right now to not drink and own it. And like bars have been like leaning in, or, you know, are they leaning in? I don't know what's going on there, but like, I'm not gonna step in foot into a bar anytime soon personally still. But like,
that's the thing, right? They have to do everything they can to cater to any customer.
It's like, it's definitely a thing. It's definitely a thing. And it's like, definitely like you get your non-alcoholic menu now. Even if you don't, like, there's just so many different hacks. Like you get like a club soda and bitters or whatever. So like,
maybe that's what you mean. We're going to say Mary was drinking a club soda and bitters. Yeah. And we're going to say she wasn't really looking to snare a fly in her web, so to speak. She was looking to stitch a fly. She was waiting for someone's pants to have a problem.
She's a story collector. So that's what she does.
Nature provided her. Yeah, she's a story collector.
She's like a story collector. The effect of what she does.
Basically, she's a badass.
Basically.
She was great. She was great. I really, really liked the noir elements as well. Like, this episode was a trip, man. Like, it was many different things put together.
It's weird. And I think put together really well. Coach Weird, you know, like weird after hours. It's an odd duck in the Ted Lasso pantheon. And I think like when we get to that point, and it's not far away, of like people making like they're the best episodes of Ted Lasso, or every episode of Ted Lasso ranked, like you're going to see this like bottom ranked on a ton of lists. Then you're going to see it like right near the top on a bunch of others. Like, this is expose. This is like, this is that divisive episode.
Trisha Tanaka.
You know, like, this is the one where like, it's not like no one is going to agree on it. You know, the way that there are some episodes along the way on this show, like not everybody's going to agree on it. Like, there's some where it's just like clearly like this was a triumphant episode and like, just a straight banger. And there's just no way around it. It's, if you like Ted Lasso, you love this episode. This is not that. This is a taste, and it is not everyone's, and that's totally fine. I think it was like really, it sounds like it was like really, really up your alley. I really liked it. I haven't given it nearly as much of a look as you have, and I'm excited to check it back out. Like, now knowing it more, I'm really excited to binge this whole season, once it's all available. Like, that is very high on like the to-do list. I think like we'll get the finale. We'll talk through the finale once that goes down. I'm sure we're going to do some sort of like bonus show to wrap up the season. And
that will be the After Hours podcast that we do. We'll compare After Hours to this episode.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a pocket.
But I'll be aiming.
If Apple asks us for two more podcast episodes, that's
we've got one more that we'll do for sure. Maybe we could do two. Should we do Survivor Richmond? No.
No. But we could map the Ted Lasso characters onto D&D archetypes.
Oh, that's
and play.
Fun. I like that. I think that would be good.
I will say, this is just way off the map. But parts of this at times, did remind me of a piece of pop culture that I've only seen one time, which was I think it was from the late 90s, Neil Gaiman, novel Neverwhere was made into a TV show. And there were moments where you're going around the city at night and disappearing into tunnels and ending up in a different place, that felt very much like that to me. And so I don't think you go very far from Neverwhere to, D&D Ted Lasso. I think you could end up there. So, I'm a sucker for the Dark Night of the Soul. You talked about it earlier. Like, I'm really a sucker for those. Like, when a main character of a show gets an episode where it's just really contemplative and it's really like all about what's going on inside their heads. And it's not exposition either, not vomiting like tons of backstory up onto the table. You're not getting all of that. You're just really going deep on one character in particular, and what's troubling them. I mean, I think my favorite Mad Men episode is the suitcase, and that's itself like a dark night of the soul.
Oh, wait,
like,
is that one that the money's for?
That's what the money is for. It's for the suitcase. Okay, yes, it's a Dolce & Gabbana bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Birkin bag. A Birkin bag for Rory. That's exactly what it is. So at the end of the day, I just am a big fan of Dark Knight of the Soul type things. And it's one of those things that you use that term and it's a loaded term. It connects to spirituality in very specific and meaningful ways. The fact that there was a little bit of that in this episode, I don't think it's by accident that we get Beard in a church communing with God. Like, this is a thing that's happening. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret's child. Just weird Beard dialogue. And he's having a conversation with God and saying, like, I know Jane is not going to fix what's wrong with me, but I just feel better when I'm around her. So in that way, it sounds like Jane is a drug to him, like, not good, causing harm and damage to his body. You joked at the beginning of the episode, like, pause down on the text. But
yeah,
if you pause down on these texts, they are
awful.
Dark. She's abusive.
This stuff, like, this is like mean. It's a non-starter. It's bad. Obviously, a person like deeply in pain themselves and like just like inflicting untold amounts of horrors on Beard via text. When you like stop that and you read that stuff, and so like fully recolors the end of the episode. Like that's not. I don't read that as a happy moment that they reunite at the club. That's bad.
It's bad, but it was so good. Like, it was so cathartic, and it was so, like, the way that he explodes into that dance, I loved it. Like, I absolutely, as far as being spiritually uplifted, there are very few moments in this series that hit me as much as Beard just letting loose on the dance floor. It captured so well, I think, what it feels like to do that and what it feels like to do that when you need to do it for the people that has a lot of value to. After the episode that we had and after everything that Beard had been through, for him to just let it go and just really bust it out like he did. And the song, the needle drop, so good. That song, Hello, certified banger. So I actually thought them reuniting was fine because I love the emotional uplift. I guess that means I'm into club drugs, Josh. I never knew that about
you. I never knew that about you either. Are you like...
I know,
are you
because it's not a thing.
Are you a big dancer?
No. I have the soul of a dancer, but I do not have the rhythm of a dancer.
Oh, man. I'd love to see some of that personally.
Yeah. No, it's not... I mean... If you catch me at the right time, you probably would.
Okay.
But, no, I am not much of a dancer. But like I said, I have the soul of a dancer. And when I say that, I mean, I know how he felt in that moment to just let go. Like, I know what he was feeling to just really, like, walk into that club. Hilarious to me. I don't even know if it's a gag, because it might not be. But he walks through that curtain, like you said. He, like, peeks his head out and he emerges born again, having supped of the flesh of Christ, or whatever you want to say that he did in that church. He steps through that curtain, and the first thing he does, he's got his AFC Richmond jacket on, right?
Yeah.
And he takes his AFC Richmond jacket off.
Yeah, because he does not want to be peeped here. No way.
He has the exact same thing on underneath.
I know, but he doesn't has an know AFC that.
It's hilarious. It's just shorter sleeves. Yeah. Like, maybe it was too hot down there, and that's why he took the jacket off. Yeah. But very funny to me that he's got, like, Richmond on Richmond here.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he wore to the match, so that's what he's got on in the club. And he's also got the pants, and the pants are doing a lot of
work. Yes.
He is not, the pants aren't wearing him. He wears the pants very well, but those pants are a thing. And the hula hooping was great.
Yes. Very, very, very good. I think I'm going to enjoy going back to this one. I think that, I certainly liked it more than, like, you know, I'm repeating myself here, but, like, if you had told me at the start of the season, there's like a full Beard episode this year, I'd be like, oh man, we don't need that. Especially after having talked it through with you, I think, like, there is a lot of value to the episode that I had not really put into, like, deep consideration, that I'm still going to be chewing on after the podcast, you know.
Chew on Beard. That's a good thing.
And so, like, I'm really happy with how much I did enjoy it. Like, I would, like, not put this in, like, my upper stratosphere of episodes, but maybe that'll change. Like, I don't know. Sometimes a TV show hits differently when you encounter it in a different space at a different time. I think, like you said, I think this one will hit differently in a binge. I think that there will be some people who still don't like vibe with it, and then other people who will like just like, you know, be raving by the end of it right alongside Coach Beard.
They'll be like, that was weird. Like, why did we just take, just like that Christmas one a few episodes ago, why did we take a few seconds to go away from the story and do something else? But at its heart, like, it's not something else. Like, Beard is a big part of the story. He's the Ted Whisperer. Like, he knows Ted better than anyone, and he's been able to say things to Ted that have resonated with Ted in a way that other characters can't get through. It's just really interesting to see in his internal monologue.
Yeah.
With Neville and Henri. I did that on purpose. It is very interesting to see, where his, you know, you hear them talking about how Beard knew better. He knew those were bad tactics. Why didn't he say something? Why doesn't he stand up to them? Like, why doesn't he speak more? Like, I think he really hates himself. He doesn't deserve to be loved. Like, he thinks he doesn't deserve to be loved. Like, his inner monologue there is fascinating, because when we ask ourselves questions about, like, why isn't Richmond doing X, Y, and Z? Like, why isn't this happening? Why isn't this happening? Well, this is why, because we have these characters who all have their own shit going on, and it's screwing them up. Like, it's in their head. So when we wonder, like, why X, Y, and Z aren't happening, this is why. Because Beard is dealing with a lot of self-doubt. You mentioned the imposter syndrome period about being over there at all, but probably the imposter syndrome about being any kind of coach, telling anyone about how to live their lives. Like, this doesn't seem like a guy who necessarily feels comfortable doing that. He gives off a vibe of, don't talk to me. The learning and development and helping people grow does not seem to be where Beard gets his juice out of this job. So where does Beard get the juice out of the job? Well, we're starting to answer where he's thirsty, at least for juice, like where he needs it. He says that being with Jane makes the world seem more interesting to him. But clearly this is a guy who wants to see interesting things in the world and who has a lot of thoughts about them. So I really, really did just like all of the running elements as well. You talked about the moons. I mean, the specifics of them don't really matter. The one that stuck out the most to me, I think, was the last one, which was when Beard is crossing. I think it's at Piccadilly Circus, which, no matter how much I love English culture, the fact that there's a thing called Piccadilly Circus, and that's what it is, will never not be just incredible to me. The famous video board that is shown always or often in pop culture. We see the moon hanging over that area, and then we see Beard walking by to the highlights of the match playing off, including Beard repeatedly falling over the wall and falling on his own face and trying to get up and walk and pretend like it didn't happen. And then what do? We see Ted all alone clapping as Beard in real life walks by on the street below. And I think that says a lot about their relationship. It says a lot about Ted's role in Beard's life. I just think there's a lot of really interesting stuff here. And then, Josh, we have the keys. I mean, we didn't even talk about it yet, but we have this recurring motif of Beard losing his keys and them being given back to him. What did you think about the keys of it all?
I didn't really know exactly what to make of it. He's lost his way. You know, and he's like losing his way further and further he goes into the night, and he's being like helped back onto his feet by all these people who are picking up his keys, who are like not letting him leave without like his way home. Like that, I think like that was just like the surface read that I gave it. I didn't give it too much deeper thought than that. Did you have a deeper analysis of what you thought of the keys with Beard?
I don't have a deeper analysis. There's a quote from Hafiz, a Sufi poet, going around that says the small man builds cages for everybody he knows, while the sage, who has to duck his head when the moon is low, keeps dropping keys all night long for the beautiful, rowdy prisoners. That's the quote. I don't think it perfectly maps because Beard is dropping his keys all night long, but I think what is really told there is about everybody helping Beard. Like I said, this is a Ted Lasso episode, even if it's not a Ted Lasso episode, because there's a lot of people really going out of their way to help Beard. I mean, freaking Roy Kent is riding around London at night on a scooter.
Trying to find him to give him his phone back.
Just trying to find him to give him his stuff. Like, Who does that? Yeah. Like, that is so helpful and so kind and such a nice gesture. He also gives him the keys separately. He doesn't give him the keys with the phone and the wallet. He gives him the keys separately. As I said, Paul gives him the keys and says, we thought you needed a hug. And then the trio does not want to own that. Paul's like, I thought you needed a hug. And then I forget the third time he's given his keys back. But he's given his keys back again. And it's just like help. It's just help. That's all. Like, people are helping Beard. Like, that is enough. Like, it's enough that people would go out of their way to say, hey, like, just do something for someone else. Like, be there for someone else who is having a hard time finding their way and who needs that to get home. Here's a hand. Like, let me reach out my hand to you. That's what Ted Lasso is about. And yet we have to point out these keys that it's a miracle that Beard is still united with when he returns home break when he puts them in the lock at the end of the episode. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause he's still frayed, you know, like he's not through it until he's not through it until the end of the episode. You know, like, he's not there yet. Like, he's not at that. He can't go. His mission of the night is not yet accomplished.
Well, and it's interesting because one of the things he was trying to do with his mission of the night was get on that bus and just take it and get somewhere. And that's an example of somebody who didn't help him, who called him a scrounger, a beggar, yelled at him, was mean to him in that moment, and puts him back on the street. And that's when he ends up, you know, back with James Tart. So that's the practical effect of somebody not helping Beard when he needed help was Beard getting his ass literally kicked.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's pretty telling here, that we've got this. And yeah, the keys thing, definitely an after hours shout out as well. Like, that is there's a wallet and keys thing going on in that movie. I know I don't really remember the details of it to remember if it mapped one to one. But I do plan to watch it and watch it in concert with this Ted Lasso episode.
Yeah.
So at some point, maybe we'll mention that on a podcast. But the keys. I think Mary is the third, the seamstress that gives them back to him. And Beard says to her in that scene, "In all my happiest memories, I'm single."
Yeah.
And you know, the Roy Kent is listed as do not answer on her phone. Like, there are these other through lines that run throughout the episodes. Like I said, whether it's him emerging from something, being reborn in a way, whether it's the keys, whether it's the moon, whether it's all the stuff about relationships and Beard needing Jane to say, I love you, her saying it, but then doing what she did about it, him literally telling God, like, I know that she won't fix me. The world just seems more interesting when she's around. And it seems like Beard is willing to trade complacency and comfort for interesting. Because he's given Beard and Jane, definitely very interesting, not necessarily very good, but very interesting. And it seems like that's what this guy, whatever his name is, he wants. He wants interesting, not comfort, not calm, not safety. He wants interesting. That's what he's looking for. And that's what he gets with Jane.
Yeah, he does. But interesting's not always great.
No, not at all.
Can be very, very, very dangerous. Sometimes just a little boring is where you want it.
Right. And that may be the cure for what ails Beard. I mean, Beard's mom, as we've heard, full-blown QAnon.
Right.
That's certainly interesting.
Yeah.
It's not good, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can see why this guy might be
drawn to some of this stuff. Yeah.
Drawn to some of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to get too Freudian.
No, for sure.
Not everything is our mother's
not
fault.
Not everything, but
many things are not our mother's fault. We are adults. We are determined to break these
things. We're breaking the cycle.
Inheriting them.
We're going to break the cycle. Well, let's break the podcast unless you've got free kicks. Anything that we haven't touched on over the course of this episode.
The Marcus Mumford cover of Blue Moon as James Tart is beating down.
Yeah, we weren't going to get buddies. Mumford off of the show. Like, come on.
No.
Maybe his sons, but Mumford?
Yes. Well, there's some problems with some of those sons. Once Jeff Tweedy elbowed his way in, you knew Mumford had to try to one up and say, listen, it's my show
buddy?
But that is it is of a companion, certainly, with him singing You'll Never Walk Alone from season one at the end of season one. You'll Never Walk Alone, famously, the club, song of my club, Liverpool Football Club, the club that I support. Blue Moon, of course, the song of Manchester City. Yep. They're really leaning in on the villainy of Manchester City in this. We have Manchester City fans, supporters beating up Coach Beard while their song is being sung in a melancholy way. Like, just like Man City is like, whoever is writing the show is all out on Man City. It's an easy punching bag, to be fair, but they are the heavy villains of the show. And the way that that song is presented here certainly adds to that. At some point, if anybody has any opinions on this, I'd love to know what club song you'd like to hear, Marcus Mumford sing in series 3. I'm partial to, I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, from West Ham. So that would be very funny, to hear him find some way to sing that in his, like, you know, purposefully mauled in way, but like, it would be very funny to hear him sing some other club song. So it'll be, I feel like they're going to do it. Like, I feel like he's going to sing another football song in series 3. It's just a matter of what it will be. So that in and of itself is a pattern. The other needle drops in the episode, as I said, Hello, definitely a banger. Loved that in that moment. But there's just a lot of other really, really good ones. This show's, music budget is Apple, right?
Yes, so, I was just gonna say yes. Like,
there's probably
whatever they want. Everything the light touches is our kingdom, and Pride Rock is huge.
There's probably a way that they have like rigged the Google SEO so that if like you're Googling the name or lyrics from one of these songs in the 72 hours after the Ted Lasso episode posts, like you're gonna get linked to Apple Music instantly.
Very likely, supremely likely. I was in a good mood the moment I heard Jeff Tweedy's voice. I was like, okay, I think this episode I'm in good hands. They're like mostly good hands.
I have never been to Vegas. Have you been to Vegas? I know
as a child, as a boy, as a wee shot. Yeah.
That's where you take children on vacation in the Wiggler family is Vegas?
I don't entirely know how that happened.
Did you get to the Hoover Dam at least?
I was really young. Very young.
3 year old in Vegas?
I was like, no, but I was like single digits, deaf. Like no doubt about it. I was like probably like somewhere in that like 6 to 8 range ish. And really probably I didn't want to say it because like the 6 to 9 range, I think, is probably nice. more accurate. I don't know why we were there, but I know I went to, what is it? Excalibur. It's the Vegas, medieval times.
Yeah.
I believe.
Excalibur.
I believe is what it's called.
You were taken there as a 6 to 9 year old.
Yeah. And I definitely saw some pamphlets on the street, that would be very curious whether or not I was 6 to 9 years old.
Oh no. Promoting adult materials.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the bunny range. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can't really speak to Beard's Vegas.
No.
But I feel like
I have friends who go, who go to Vegas, and like anybody that I know that goes to Vegas goes for 2 days.
Yeah, it's commonly believed, I think, that the one is fine.
Let me tell you something I'm not going to do is fly across the country for 2 days of fun. That sounds awful to me.
That even assumes that it would be fun.
Unless it's like a work trip that I have to go, or there is like a lights out event that like I've been waiting my entire life for, whatever, you know, like in Vegas, like why I'm not going just to go to Vegas for 2 days.
So let me ask you a question.
What's going to get me to Vegas? Is that the question?
I want to give you a specific.
Yeah.
I've said this on this podcast. I'm a big, big, big fan of the Beatles. I have been since I was about 12 years old. One of the first CDs ever given to me was the White Album. My parents were big fans of the Beatles. Like, this is a thing that became an obsession of mine for 5 or 6 years. From the time I was like, you know, in my early to mid teens to my late teens, absolutely obsessed with the Beatles. Like all the ephemera, trivia, details, knowledge, like their third and fourth girlfriends, who they, you know, hanging out with in high school, all that shit.
I don't think you've done it on this podcast, but you do a mean John Lennon.
I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
Yeah, you've done it.
I don't remember doing John Lennon. I don't think I've even done it on this podcast.
You haven't done it on this podcast. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's relatively easy to do John Lennon.
You've definitely done it on post-show recaps before, but we've drained however many thousands of hours or whatever at this point that it's easy that you'd forget it. But
don't say drain. They'll figure out that we're Colin Robinson.
Very, very memorable to me.
So this is a long way of saying, like, there is a Beatles Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas.
Yeah. We're not.
Some of us might be. There is a Beatles Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas called Love. They put out the music for it. You can listen to it. It's sort of this weird, like, artistic remix where they mix these tracks together, but there's this massive Cirque du Soleil performance that goes with it. You can't see that anywhere else, as far as I know. You can only see that in Las Vegas. I want to go to Rao's. It's like my dream to go to Rao's in New York City. You can't get a table there, right?
No way.
They're owned by the people who own them. So how am I getting to Rao's unless I, you know, find the Sarah Coombs of Rao's and talk my way in? But there's a Rao's in Vegas where any old schlep can go. So I can go to Rao's. I can see the Beatles show. Like, there are things that I would like to do in Vegas, even as somebody who does not enjoy gambling and does not need to go to strip clubs or drink all night long.
Why go to Vegas when the Wario Casino is just a couple clicks away at patreon.com/postshowrecaps at that $10 level? Gamble it all away with the patrons of Post Show Recaps. Why go to Vegas? You could just stay online. Yeah, and it's not even real money, but it does cost you real sanity.
Let me get to my specific. Yes. If there was a lost Cirque du Soleil, are you going to see it?
I don't think so.
You're not?
If like Giacchino's involved, yeah. What?
Yeah, yeah. What if he what if he worked the score, used the existing lost score, and worked with them to, you know, to choreograph this routine?
If he's there and like it's his music and like he was directly involved in it, then I probably would consider going for that. But that is what I'm talking about. It's like there needs to be like a glowing neon sign. This is the thing. Otherwise, I'm not particularly going. I'm sure there's lots of people listening to this being like, I love Vegas. And that's great.
Yeah, there's lots of glowing neon signs in Vegas that say this is the thing.
Good for you. I'm thrilled for
you.
Good for you. No, genuinely, like, great. You found your thing. That's lovely. Not my place.
Casino gambling is also becoming more and more just like you can do it in most states at this point. So I am becoming
a little less of a hook. I'm concerned of what would become of me in Vegas. Like, I don't want to know
the Vegas Wiggler.
I don't want to find out who that guy is. I have no interest in meeting that version of myself.
What if you came back with a beard like Alan from The Hangover?
What if that's all it takes? Alan from The Hangover.
You need a couple drinks for Vegas water, and your beard will sprout good berries.
Wow, that very good. Very, I'd be very interested in this.
Okay, all right. Wow. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I know people from the UK go to Vegas, and it's like not only do they fly across. Well, I think for a few days. Like, I don't think it's for a week, though. Like, I don't think anybody goes to Vegas for a week.
I could be convinced. Like, go to Vegas, have it as like 2 days of like a longer itinerary for some other stuff. You know, like drive through Nevada. Go to Reno, go to Lake Tahoe in just a hop and a skip and a jump away. You know, like they're
the biggest little city in the world in Reno.
You know, like maybe
Post Show Recaps Con, Las Vegas. That's what's happening. Uh-uh. Josh.
No, we're in one of the Dakotas. I'm not sure which one. It's either north or south.
I don't think anything.
Think it's south.
I don't think. No,
I think it's South Dakota's where we're supposed to do that.
Anyway, so the Vegas thing, I don't have a real good take on that. It's just funny. Like that's the first question that came out of one of their mouths is, have you ever been to Vegas? Like they wanted to know about Vegas immediately.
That's funny.
So that was a thing. I'm searching my notes to see if there were really other things. I don't think there was anything massive. I mean, as I said, we didn't really say enough about, Thierry Henry, and Lineker, there, talking to him, but, them being his internal monologue. And then I'm not sure if that's actually them at the club at the end. They happened to be there having spoken to him throughout the night.
There is Santa Claus, you know?
I guess that's right.
Yeah, I think you could cut it either way. Like either it's sort of like, it's like, you know, this is like their presence here is sort of like verification that Beard's exactly where he needs to be. Does that have to be like they are literally there or not? Like, I think is, you know, it just depends on like how you need it to hit you. Like I do appreciate them there, sort of like the Statler and Waldorf at the end of the episode, just like, you know, like yucking it up in their booth. Like that vibe, with them eating the steak, or one of them's eating the steak, the other one's eyeing the steak.
Reaching for a fry for steak
frites. Can't do that.
No dice.
Can't do that.
No dice. Just one cornetto. I love that
as
well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
The singing. Yeah. So, and then is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's Nelson Road. That's a really good line, right out of, I think, Field of Dreams, probably other things as well.
Yeah.
But, certainly great there. I really I really think this is an episode I would encourage other people, I would encourage everyone to revisit at some point without thinking, and I didn't like that episode. I mean, right now, I think it's the lowest score on IMDb of any of the episodes. And I understand that because those are the people that are voting in the moment. And you know, it's fair to say that in the moment, I understand why people would want something different right now. People wanted to see when that door closed with Sam and Rebecca, what happens not immediately after, although there are some people in the audience who are up against the windows, sickos, wanting to see what's happening in that moment.
God.
But there are definitely people who want to see the fallout of that. And we know that's coming. We know that's coming very soon. I think, probably in the next episode, it seems.
Yeah.
Like. So we're headed.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we're going to get there. What was it called? No Weddings and a Funeral or something like that is going to be the name of the next episode of Ted Lasso. I think a fairly evocative title, considering what's at stake on the show right now. Not steaks that we are eating at the moment. But we talked about this a little bit last week, just sort of like setting up some of the ideas that could be in play. Certainly the idea of like, okay, so like maybe there's some romance that's not going to go the right way, potentially with like Sam and Rebecca. The funeral, are we talking about like getting deeper into what happened with Ted's father? Is that something like I feel like that has to come up in this next episode as a major point? Could there be a funeral that is somebody's occupational death, right? Like could like somebody lose their job, whether they are fired or they rage quit or something else. So I think there's a lot of room for interpretation in the title. And next week does seem like it will be a big episode. We're in the home stretch. We've got three more episodes of Ted Lasso season two, and then we're done. That's it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It flew.
Seems
it's
like
flown.
Only yesterday.
It's flown. It's flown. Gone real fast.
Just like Leaf, it flew.
Absolutely.
Or he flew, I guess, in this case.
All right, we're going to call it there, because that is the right note to end this on. Antonio is at AC Mazzaro on the Twitter machine. How many Z's and R's?
It's two Z's, one R. Meep. Moop. We had No Weddings and a Funeral, which is clearly a Four Weddings and a Funeral shout-out. Beard After Hours, which After Hours. We had Do the Rightest Thing, yes, earlier in the season, I know. And I know we had Goodbye Earl, which I feel like was a Dixie Chicks song. The Chicks song. So I don't know if all these titles have some kind of secondary pop cultural meaning or essence. That maybe is something we should have been tracking or we can track for the rest of this series. So, but that, No Weddings.
Carol of the Bells. There was a movie called Carol.
There was. Shot in Cincinnati, my town of Cincinnati. So.
Just a thought.
Yeah, probably. Taco Bell is a thing. That's a restaurant. Probably those two things connected, maybe.
Could be. You just don't know. Probably. Sometimes.
Just don't know. Now we are fully energy vampires.
Oh,
we are.
God. Okay, let me wrap it up. Wrapping it up. Right, okay, now. We'll be back. We're coming back next week. We are we're going to do No Weddings and a Funeral. Really excited about it. Really excited to get back to the main action. But I thought that this was definitely a really worthy episode to really sink our teeth into, like regular vampires. I'm at Rand Howard. That's where you find me on the Twitter bots. You can also see me gambling in the Wario Casino on the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. Hey, our 1 year anniversary of the Post Show Recaps Patreon program is coming up really, really soon. We'd love to see you there. We've got some really fun ideas. Think you're going to enjoy it? Consider it. Putting the seed of the idea in there now. No one's expecting you to like turn off the podcast. I'll do it today. But just like now, like just like mark it on your thing, like October 1st. Like consider it. Think about it. It's like it's not far away. Love to have you in here. We've got a huge, amazing Ted Lasso discourse that we're talking about in the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord. We'd love for you to be a part of it, especially for the end stretch of this season. Think about it. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. With all of that said, I think I'm good to wrap this up. Antonio, anything else?
That would be a great birthday gift. Just sub for 1 month. See what you think. That's a birthday gift for Post Show Recaps. As I said, I'm so thankful for all the people that are watching along with us there and posting comments and thoughts and reactions. It really gives me a sense of the pulse. Like you talk about a Ted Lasso heat check when you've got direct feedback from people whose opinions I value and who I know have commentary on other things, who I've listened to another podcast or whose comments that I've really valued over the years or who I'm just learning about in some instances. Like just so valuable to me as a podcaster, but just really as a human being to like see these varied perspectives and try to get an understanding of where people come from and why. I just really, really appreciate that. So I'm so thankful to everybody that's participating there. I can't say
100% co-signed by me. One more time, that's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Okay, we're going to wrap it up here. We will be back next week with more Ted Lasso. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Beards.